Hi, everyone. You're listening to In the Open, a podcast by Mental Health America, where we talk all things mental health related.
Hey, everybody. It's In the Open, and this is Teresa.
And America.
And we're going to talk about how to tell someone about your mental health problems and, you know, taking those first steps to not be alone.
Not feeling alone is really important because I think most people feel like they're alone in this struggle, and that's not the case. There's so many of us out there that are struggling alongside you, but we don't ever really talk about these things. So it makes it seem like you're all alone.
And that fear is, that's the biggest thing that probably you feel when you're in that early space, because it's really scary to not know what's going on with your mind, how people are going to react. I think a lot of people ask us, am I going to be judged? What does this mean that I'm this way? Am I broken?
Right. It's like, what happened to me that I'm this way? There's a lot of blame, I think, that you put on yourself because you're not exactly certain why it happens, right? So it's kind of natural for a person to try to find some sort of button that you can be like, oh, that did it. You know, that was the one thing that made me have depression. And it doesn't always work out that way. It's not that black and white.
The blame is a big thing. I mean, right off the bat, right? Nobody chooses to have a mental illness. Like, you can't choose it, but everybody has a brain. So we're all basically at risk of having mental health problems, and half of all people experience some kind of mental health problem in their lives. The problem is that nobody used to talk about it very much at all, but we do see more people talk about mental health problems and mental illnesses and even less common mental illnesses, right? Do you think that people are talking about these things more often now?
I think it depends on the generation that you're talking about, because if we're looking at younger people, there is a tendency for them to be more open with their struggles, which I guess in many ways makes them braver than the older generations in some way, because they're just like, F it. This is my reality right now, and I'm sharing it with the world. And that's also maybe directly linked to the way that we share info now, like on social media. But older generations, you know, even our generation, we didn't really talk about these things, because there was and continues to be a lot of shame. There's a whole kind of misconception that it's something that could have been prevented if I was happier, if I, you know, changed my life in some way, got a better job or something, then my depression would go away. But we've learned so much more that kind of deters us from thinking that way.
And probably most people realize that if you're older, you know, it's harder to talk about your mental health problems to coworkers or whatever. But even if you're young, you realize your parents are in a different generation, and sharing anything with your parents anyways would be pretty scary. But you also know that my parents are not going to get me in the same way that my friends might. So it makes it much more difficult to share something when you feel like something might be going wrong with your brain.
Yeah, definitely. Even more so when, like, if you think about the Latino community, the Asian community, the Black community, any kind of community where therapy or anything mental health related is really seen as a character flaw, there's a whole conversation that has to happen, I think, internally. And you'd be like, I'm going to accept the fact that this is what I'm going through and I'm living with. And you have to understand and be prepared for the types of maybe negative reactions that people will have just because they don't understand it. And that may speak to across all cultures. So
yeah, no, that's definitely all cultures.
Yeah.
Equally.
Yeah.
Are fearful of the unknown. You know, it's like they just don't know. They're just scared of the things that they don't know. I found that even in cultures or families where you know that people aren't going to be open or say really judgy things, there's always somebody that's not judgy, you know, that you can find, like a cousin or someone who just might be the first person that I mean, we talked a little bit about that, about thinking through the exact thing that you need, and that's the person you talk to. But you know, even in your family, even when you're like, okay, my family isn't going to be the most supportive person at all. And I come out to them and I have to tell them because they need to know. I think you can even start with people in your family who you know are cool.
I think so. I think you have to, like we said, you know, you have to figure out who you're going to go to. But even before you kind of get to that place, there's this internal conversation and you figuring out, what am I supposed to say?
Yeah. Let's talk about that. I think that's really important. Like, what can you do to prepare yourself to have that conversation?
Yeah, because it can go either way, right? It can be positive, it can be negative, and it can be kind of like nothing's ever happened, you know?
Yeah, well, let's acknowledge that for many people, they never tell their family.
Why?
Because they wait until they're adults and they take care of it themselves. And then they never really even go back and tell their family.
But don't you think that in many situations, the people that you have around you that are the closest to you are going to notice these differences, you know, in your emotions and your affect and everything. So
yeah,
you may not always have to be the one that opens the door.
I think that sounds really nice. I wonder about that. You know, that sounds really nice if that could happen, because then you know that your parents or people in your life are paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that that always is the case, especially with parents, because I feel like they're so busy that unless things are really in their face, there's no knowledge that something's going to happen until their child goes to the hospital. I mean, we see this all the time, right? Young people go to the hospital because they have suicidal thoughts or they've been engaging in cutting behaviors. And parents are like, I had no idea that they were going through this kind of stuff. And we see that all the time. So I think that it would be nice if parents saw things, but it's not their fault either. Like, I think teenagers and people, let's be honest, because adults are equally as really good at hiding things for a long time until you can't hide things anymore.
Yeah.
So the best thing to do is, if you know that you're struggling with mental health problems, is it's unfortunate that sometimes a responsibility is on us to be the first ones to be like, I just need to tell somebody that I need help.
Yeah. I think in my mind, many things are very positive because that's what I hope to see in the world. But I know that the reality is much more negative and much more scary.
Complicated.
It is complicated. And it's about unearthing this piece of yourself. One, you're coming to terms with it on your own, and then bringing it out into the light and being like, okay, this is happening. It's real. Because now you have to really share it.
So I think telling somebody differs a lot based on your age.
Yeah.
So the conversation that someone has when they're young and they have to tell their parents because maybe they want to go to therapy, or they're like, I know something is wrong, I'm seeking support from my parents for help, is very different than an adult who is probably going to get their own help and is telling their parents, like, this is why I'm struggling with work or something like that, right? So let's go through each one. Like, what's it like to tell somebody when you're young? What are some tips that could help a person prep for that kind of conversation?
It might be helpful to write stuff down.
Yeah, I like that.
Especially when your mind is like going to be racing.
Mm-hmm.
And that may just help you say, okay, I know I want to touch on these two things.
Mm-hmm.
That's definitely one thing. I would say, don't overthink it. The stuff that we say to ourselves is not always positive. And the idea is you want to find an opportunity to share where it's the most appropriate in your household or whatever, because you can't do it when you're trying, you know, your mom is rushing in from work, trying to get like dinner on the table, or in the morning, you know, you have to figure out what your schedule looks like and your parents' schedule looks like. So you're not like dropping this on them out of nowhere, because their response may not be the best because they're already stressed at trying to do the next thing.
That's a really good piece of advice. So writing it down helps to organize your thoughts. Also, you can write 50,000 letters before you come to the one you feel really good about. If you're going to have a verbal conversation, pick a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's really key because people rush into these things sometimes and then it doesn't work out well. So if you're thinking ahead, you're like, okay, I'm going to find a good time. And you say something like, hey, mom and dad, I actually want to have a conversation with you, which signals to your parent, this is serious.
Right. I have to pay attention.
Yeah. I am like calling you for a meeting, you know, which almost never happens from a child. I think arming yourself with some knowledge can help.
I think it's natural for us to Google stuff. It's very natural. But maybe if I'm dealing with depression, it gives me stats. The conversation that I feel I would have is not, so you know how I've been sleeping a lot? I think it's been depression, you know? And like you're reading these symptoms off of whatever Google has given to you. It's about making it yourself, you know, making it tied to your experience. So
yeah,
I'm very fortunate that I have parents that are very understanding. And I remember when I was younger, you know, I could have talked to them about stuff, but I don't think in any way now there are situations where your first person that you're going to come talk to is mom or dad, you know, or grandma or whoever is your main person. You're going to kind of prepare for that larger conversation by having these smaller ones with your best friend, with somebody that you really trust, because that's easier.
We basically acknowledge that being a kid and telling your parent is weird AF. I can't say the words. It's weird. We know it's awkward, but I think we hope for some vision of the world where if people are struggling and they're young, that they will reach out. And it's because we see so many young people who are struggling by themselves and alone. So look, we know it's weird. If you're young and you have to talk to an adult, it's freaking weird, and it is, but we want you to do it because you can save yourself years of suffering. We basically know that. So let's pivot then to what it's like to tell people you have a mental health problem when you're an adult.
I think when you're an adult, it's even scarier because you're not certain if it will impact other areas of your life, like work. So we still want to find somebody, right, that we trust, definitely, to be able to share that with.
I know get a lot of questions about how do you tell your boss if you have a mental health problem? And I really hope that we have a better society where people can say, look, I got to go take some mental health days. And we've seen some articles come out that makes that like a really popular thing to do. So you hope that you can take some time off and go and take a mental health day or take a mental health week if you want, just like you're sick. But if you're afraid because you work in a hostile work environment and you need to take some time off, I think it's a safe thing to do to just say, look, I'm not feeling well and I need to take some time off.
What's interesting though about being an adult, right, is that you said it earlier, right? We really don't have to tell anybody about the stuff that's going on in our life. Some people, like once they leave their parents' house, like that's it. Some people don't even talk to their parents anymore, right? So it's really the people that you have found to be your family, in quotes, whether that's your friends, people from work, whatever.
Why do you feel like it's harder? Why is it harder with your family or your friends when you're an adult?
Because I feel like somehow you have to excuse it in some way. Like for work, there's responsibility tied to you not showing up. For your friends, it's like people are asking you, why aren't you hanging out with us anymore? Why is this happening? Why is that happening? And you kind of have to give a response to that. That's why I think it's harder.
See, this is the thing as an adult is we have choice about who we want in our lives. I mean, I've talked to so many people who have, if you have supportive parents, like that's freaking great. You know, you have that conversation like you have with a friend that you trust. But I have also met a lot of people who do not trust their parents and do not have supportive parents. Maybe one of the things, if you're an adult, that you have to ask yourself is you have to ask yourself, if it doesn't go the way you want, what's your decision about what's next? Do you try to help them understand? Do you let it roll off? Like, I'm never going to convince my mom. She'll never understand, or my dad, they'll never understand. And that's okay. So you let it go. Or for some people, their relationship with their parents is so bad that they can't stay in a relationship with their parents. And I think these are the kinds of conversations that adults have about mental illness that young people don't necessarily have.
Well, no, I mean, that's a very important part of the conversation in understanding how your parents may react. But aside from your parents, other people in your life, when you choose to tell them, what do you do to prepare for that conversation? Which I think you touched on when you're saying you have to be prepared in knowing the conversation could go in various ways and having kind of a plan in place for how you're going to react emotionally so that it doesn't knock you down. Because it's important to know that their reaction is their reaction, and all you have control over is what you want in that situation. It's okay to say, I don't know, and just be like, I don't know, dude. I just need some help.
Yeah.
Hopefully that will lead towards a positive conversation. But we know reality isn't always like that.
And help looks a lot differently. So as we continue to talk about what helped people, I mean, we'll kind of dive into those different qualities. But the key point in sharing about your mental illness, as we said, and not feeling alone, is that support is so important. If you're going to tackle your mental health problems, it's really hard to do them by yourself. So it's good to find other people who can be an ally or a support person in the process, because it will be painful. So what do you do if people don't have someone? I mean, we have that all the time. We tell people like, oh, go talk to somebody, because the key is support. But what if you don't have people in your life?
I think you have to find people in your life.
Yeah, I agree. Where can we suggest people look for other people?
Online. I mean, we're great at connecting online now, but you know, it's more than just me following you and you following me. It's actually me, you know, like connecting with somebody. You know, like right now we're doing the campaign on Instagram about the letter to my mental illness, right? And people are sharing and other people are commenting and saying, thank you for sharing. Why? Because sometimes we don't have the words to say exactly what our experience has been and somebody else does.
Yeah.
So that's a medium that really helps to create connections.
So on the internet, you have forums like Inspire.
Mm-hmm.
Inspire is a community we have where people can come online. And if you're not comfortable posting a question, you can at least go on there and read people's questions so you can learn some stuff. You know, we have some tools on our website, like the letter to my mental illness or mental illness feels like. These are places where people share and connect with one another to talk about their experiences. Online support groups are weird, right? We know that they exist. So you can Google like an online support group. And I think a lot of them are pretty accepting. So if you signed up and you weren't quite ready to share yourself, you could just attend a group to start.
Yeah, definitely.
But they're also anonymous, right?
Yeah.
All of this stuff is anonymous, which is beautiful. It's like, hey, maybe I'm not so ready to share who I am and how this works, but I could be anonymous and do this until I do feel comfortable talking to someone.
Yeah. And then there are other things like peer warm lines. You know,
oh yes,
warm lines are not crisis support lines. They are really intended to be just a person that you can call that may have some lived experience with mental illness, and they could just chat with you about their life, your life, and kind of help you think through your thoughts.
Yeah. Where do the people go? Do they Google?
Yeah, warm lines. And there's a list that they can find online, but I think it's warmlines.org that they can go to find that.
I recently spoke to an organization called Project Return Peer Support Network. They are an associate member of ours. Their warm line is national.
Mm-hmm.
So they exist out there. You might have to call and find out, but I know at least theirs is national. But those things do exist. So, okay. So the point of talking about your mental illness is not about disclosure. It is about being brave and knowing that we shouldn't judge ourselves and we wouldn't judge other people. So a little bit of disclosure is breaking through that judgment. And then it's about finding support.
Yeah.
Finding your support people, finding your people.
Finding connection.
Yeah.
Just a reminder, right? Keep fighting in the open.
That's right.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.